Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Colossians. The New Testament book of Colossians and Colossians and chapter number 4. We're currently in a Sunday school series of dealing with prayer. And remember that this Sunday school series is a little bit different because we're not trying to teach a how-to class of prayer, but rather teaching more about the motive for praying, teaching more about the who of praying, teaching more about exactly how to be able to pray more efficiently, effectively, so we could see our prayers answered. We know that in order to do that, we must learn how to pray along the will of God, not praying for selfish prayers, not praying for prayers that don't matter, but to learn how to exalt God's name, to bring glory to His name by lining up with what He wants to get accomplished in this world. So with that, look with me in the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians 4, and if you don't mind, let's begin in verse number 1. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And if you don't mind, if we see this together, notice that here he's praying, in verse 3, that withal praying for us also that God would open to us a door of utterance. Here this idea is that Paul is in prison, and he's still saying, please pray for us that we have opportunities, doors would be open to go witness to more people. That even while he's in prison, he has a desire to see the furtherance of the gospel. With this, we see an idea to pray for the lost. We know that God has clearly stated in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3 that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If we were to go to God and say, God, do you want this person saved? You would hear a resounding yes. Well, what about this person? Yes. What about this person? Yes. God is more concerned for people to get saved than even we could ever be. God is desiring for every single person to get saved. And so, as we have a desire to see our prayers to be prayed more effectively and to be answered as we've been praying them, one of the ways that we do is to pray along God's will. And God wants us to pray for the lost. If you don't mind, let's just kind of examine and walk through the book of Colossians chapter 4 right here. And let's learn more about how we can pray for the lost. Notice, if you don't mind, we're going to see several different elements here, several different reminders, several different principles as we want to pray for the lost. Notice, if you don't mind, we find, first of all, in verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch with the same with thanksgiving. First of all, we learn that we need to pray continually. We need to pray continually. We need to learn how to pray continually for the lost. Remember, there's only one prayer request that the Lord Jesus Christ had given to his disciples, and that was to pray, therefore, to the Lord of harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field. That Jesus said, my prayer request is that more people would go out there to go reach the lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ was to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the heart of Christ. And so one of the principles we need to learn is to pray for things continually, to pray continually for the lost. And sometimes people will try to figure out, what does this mean? Well, it does mean that we're going to continue in prayer, but with it, it's also a spirit of prayer, that I can enter into prayer all the time, that I'm almost in constant communication with God, that as I'm doing my other things, it is very easy for me to slip into prayer and pray for the lost. Imagine, if you don't mind, you're driving as a living. We have some people that drive for a living. You know how many lost people that you see? Do you know how many buildings there are with people who live inside of it? And they're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. When we're driving to work, we see people. We see cars. The person that passed you that you want to yell at for cutting you off, you know that's someone who's going to heaven or going to hell? We're surrounded by people. You work with people. Unless you're working remotely from home, you work with people. There are people who need to get saved. People continually who need to get saved. I was listening to a preacher friend of mine who was saying that he got in the habit that whenever he had remembered movies and stuff that he watched or books that he had read, he would start praying for the author or start praying for the people. There's people all around us that need to get saved. Now, again, is there anyone where God says, you know what? Not them. No. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's neither here nor there, but I have a book that grabbed my attention years ago that I have it in my library. It's called The Long Walk. And here was a man who was a Polish officer during World War II, and then when the Russians took over Poland from the Germans, the Russians, instead of liberating Poland, they ended up putting the officers on trial and charging them with treason, and they brought the Polish officers to a life sentence in Siberia to work the rest of their life, where they were never going to come out. Well, that's awful. Well, in this real-life story, this actually happened. The Polish officer happened to get together with a couple other people. By the way, they all didn't speak the same language, but they managed to escape Poland, or escape Siberia. They had to cross the Siberian tundra, go across a lake, cross Mongolia, had to go do a walk to the Himalayas, cross the Himalayas to try to get to freedom inside of India, and all the disasters and the things that they went through and all the horrible things. It is just an experience to say, how could someone live past this? Well, I remember reading this author, and he's giving his testimony and thinking, man, what an awful thing it would be to go through all of that. And to find that after that, you died and went to hell. Why would someone like that go to hell? Because they're a sinner who offended a holy, righteous God, and they never personally received the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. They may hear about it, but they never accepted it as their Savior. And that broke my heart. I remember I started praying for that man. I happened to look it up and see if this guy was still alive. He was! Started praying that someone would witness to him. I don't know if he ever accepted Christ as a Savior, but I did find out that several people did witness to him and give him a clear witness. Amen. But you know, there's people who need to accept Christ as their Savior that's all around us. And we need to start by praying for them to get salvation. There are people put in our path all around us that we work with, that we pass. And the very first place that we need to begin is prayer, praying that they get saved. And there are so many people we could be praying for. We need to be praying continually and be at the place that if we just spot someone, we could easily just slip back into prayer. Lord, that person over there, I don't know what they are, but I'm just asking that they would get saved. God, that person over there, you brought my attention to them, and that whoever they are, we're asking that they would get saved. and that we could get to the place that while we're working, my coworker over here, I could tell that they're having a rough day. Lord, would you bring them to the place where they accept you as Savior? My neighbors, instead of listening to them argue through the thin walls that we have and to, you know, as they're shouting across the thing, Lord, would you please bring peace in their house by bringing them both salvation? Amen. We have so many people around us. And the number one thing that we could do is pray continually to pray for the lost. They're all around us, to pray that they would come to the place where they would accept Jesus as their personal Savior, to have their sins forgiven, and to be entered into a brand new life, this eternal life that God has offered to them, that they can know God for themselves. We need to be praying continually. With that, as the Apostle Paul continues on, notice with me in verse number 3, he says something else. Wherewithal praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that's the gospel, for which I am also in bonds, that it may be me manifest as I ought to speak. Paul says, I want to give a prayer request. Would you pray that even though I'm in prison now, that God would open a door of utterance? He would open up a door of opportunity for me to witness to more people. Now, that's pretty amazing. Paul wasn't saying, well, I'm in jail. This is about all I could do. He says, no, even though I'm here, I can't do anything about my circumstances. Pray that God would open up the door that I could go talk to more people. And by the way, God did that from time to time. He had a Roman soldier that was chained to him. Well, guess what? Since you're here, might as well talk to you. Let me tell you why I'm in prison. I'm in prison because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me explain that to you. According to the Bible, he won many of his guards to the Lord. Open up the door of utterance. You know, there was a time where there was a runaway slave that heard about Paul, and he went and visited Paul, who was in prison. God was bringing lost people to Paul. And Paul was able to lead Onesimus to the Lord and help him to get right and restored. God could open up doors. You say, well, I don't have the opportunity to go knock 1,000 doors. Yeah, but God could open up the door where they come to you.
Amen.
Open up a door of utterance. And we could pray that for ourselves, for others. Lord, would you open up a door for our church to witness to more people? Would you open up a door for me to witness to more people? Can you bring people into my path that I could witness to? Because again, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that God is looking for ways to give us open doors. So many times he gives us open doors and we don't even realize they're open. We just walk right by. Open up a door of utterance. Open up an opportunity for me to talk to more people, to witness to them. Notice, if you don't mind, there's a third prayer request. He says in verse number three again, wherewithal praying for us that God would open up a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds. Notice this expression that he says, I was looking for it. Good. Forgive me for not finding the phrase immediately. Notice with me in verse 6. That's, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Notice this. The idea that we're seeing here is that I would be able to speak as I ought to speak. To be able to express things, to be able to speak wisely. We need this wisdom to be able to speak. That's verse number 4 is what I was looking for. That it may be manifest as I ought to speak. That's a good prayer request. Lord, help me to be able to speak the way I should speak. Amen. Help me to be able to have the words to be able to speak so I don't use my own words and end up offending people or driving them away or driving them crazy or making them look at me cross-eyed and going, what in the world did I just see? Help me to have the words I ought to be able to say things, to explain things the right way. This is a good prayer request because we all know we all get in trouble with our mouth. Our mouth gets us in lots of trouble. Lord, help me to be able to speak as I ought to speak. Help me to be able to say the words that I need to say. Help me to be able to explain it in such a way that they would be able to understand it. Give me the words to use. Help us. This is a good prayer request for us, that God would open up the doors. And as he opens up the doors, he would give us the words to say. one of the things we've been putting an emphasis on lately in the last couple months here is that we can't do anything. Only God can do his work. And even if we attempted to use our own words, it wouldn't work. We need God to give us the words to say, that I need to know. He gives me wisdom so I could use the right words and say it the right way. We never want to offend someone where they no longer want to hear the gospel. We want to be wise. And we want to be able to be effective with our words. The illustration Pastor Sexton's using, kind of like a surgeon with a scalpel in his hand, just to be able to cut out exactly what I need to do the surgery I need to do, nothing more than that. And we don't want to make a mess of other things. We want God to open up a door, and we want to be waiting for it, ready to be able to speak to them, to have the words to say when those doors are open up. We know that there's sometimes doors are not open very long. And we don't want to blow up our opportunity because we said the wrong thing. We want to pray continually. We want to pray that God would open up a door. And as God would open up the door, that we'd be able to have the words to be able to say at the right time. God would give us the ability to speak what we ought to speak. Notice, if you don't mind, we find something else. Verse number 5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. The idea of without, by the way, is those without the church that are not in the church. They're without the church, those who are not part of our church. Walk in wisdom towards those that are without, redeeming the time. We need to pray that God would help us to walk in wisdom. If I try to speak without walking in wisdom, my words will fall on deaf ears. Spurgeon tells a story of a preacher who people loved to have in the pulpit because of the way he could speak. But when he got out, they never wanted him to go back because of the life he lived. It was a horrible life. We want to be able to walk in wisdom so that way when we try to witness to people, people say, you know what? Something about your life backs up what you say. We don't want to live as such a life where people like, what, you're saved? Oh, I don't want what you have. How we live our life, we want to walk in wisdom to those without. So when we try to witness to them, we don't look like hypocrites. When we try to witness to them, we don't look like just crazy people. When we try to witness to people, we don't look like someone who doesn't care or we're out for ourselves or that we're selfish. We want to have such a testimony where they want to hear us. I've been watching the way that you live, and I'm willing to listen to your message. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians who do not walk in wisdom. And so when they attempt to witness, why should I listen to you? It'd be, for example, someone who's went to the bar with his friend and they're kicking back some cold ones, then turns to him and says, let me tell you why you're going to heaven or why I'm going to heaven and you're not. Will that person be willing to listen? No. Not at all. If we're a type of person that's always losing our temper and then say, let me tell you about the peace that God gave me. Will someone want to listen? Nope. We want to be able to have such a life where people say, you know what? There's something to it. The biggest evidence that the Bible is true is the evidence of a changed life. And when they are able to say, you know what? There's something different about you. There's something that changed about you. What is it? I'd be glad to tell you. It's Jesus in me. It's not me. It's Jesus in me. Jesus did something. He changed me from the inside out. I'm no longer the same person. And by the way, you could have that too. Let me tell you about it. But we need to be able to pray that God would help us to walk in wisdom. That when we're working, we don't ruin our testimony by foolish things we do at work. By our neighbors, that our neighbors want to hear what we say because they don't hear us breaking things across our walls and punching holes and then yelling at our kids and trying to get our kids to behave. The idea is that we should have a testimony that people say, you know what? That's a Christian family. That's something I don't have. How can I have that? The idea is that we want to make them thirsty. And again, we can't do that. It's Christ in us. But as we surrender to Christ, as we walk in wisdom, as we're saying, Lord, change me so I can have a testimony without. It's going to back up the message and allow people to be more receptive to what we have to say. Then one more, if you don't mind. Verse number 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Notice this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. We need to pray that our speech will be full of grace and truth. That's an amazing phrase. Do you know that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth? John chapter 1 verse 14 speaks about that. That's what Jesus was known for. That we need to make sure that our words full of grace and truth, meaning we could say hard things without being harsh. We could say hard things and they'll listen to us because they know we love them. That they should know that we care about them when we say those things. People are more receptive. It is not a fun time for someone to say, you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell. Those are true statements. Every single one of us are sinners. Every single one of us deserve hell. And we need to say those hard things, but we need to say it with such grace that they could acknowledge the truth without being offended. We could be offensive with what we say. Bless God, you ought to split hell wide open. Well, now they don't want to listen to us anymore. We should never speak about hell like we're glad someone is going there. It's always amazing to watch people come out of the woodwork when we have someone who passes away, that they're almost glad that they're dead and that they're boiling in hell right now. That should never be something that we say. We should always be full of grace, that even when people are wrong, we could be gracious to them and try to love on them and bring them along. Again, keeping truth, that's the important thing, but truth and grace. The idea that our speech is seasoned with salt. Remember, salt preserves, it does not cure. But we should have a type of speech that stops the corruption, but makes people thirsty. That people want to hear what we say, even though it may be something hard to hear. Does that make sense? Not just turn us off. This is something we need to pray for. Now, all these are prayer requests. These are things that you're not trying to work up yourself. It's coming to the idea, Lord, I know my speech. I know left to my own devices, I'm going to offend people. I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to be hurtful to people. I'm asking that you would help my speech, that I would have wisdom. Help my walk, that I have wisdom. Help my speech, that I'd be gracious to people for the purpose that we could bring people to yourself. That I can have the permission to say hard things that are necessary, but they're willing to listen instead of being offended. Again, some people get to the place where they're almost prideful about how many people they offend. We should not be that way. We should be desiring that people want to hear the message and they want to hear the truth because of our lifestyle and the way that we present the truth. Again, not compromising the truth, not twisting things away. But Jesus was full of grace. When he dealt with people, he was always gracious. Think about the woman caught in the act of adultery. She was guilty. She was caught in the act. But did Jesus ever condemn her, beat her up? No. He dealt with the accusers who were trying to accuse her, but he began to write down in the sand. People don't know what he wrote down in the sand, but people theorize that he started listing sins that all those other people did. How do you know that? Because they started leaving one by one by the old ones until she was the only one left. And she goes, she's standing before him and like, I can't leave. What do I do? Go and sin no more. He talked to her in a way. She knew she was guilty. He didn't need to beat her up about it. But he was able to present her hope. The hope was not that she would be a bit better person. The hope was in Jesus Christ himself. We need to be able to present people. We need to be gracious to people. Draw them in. Bring them close to the Lord Jesus Christ, not taking every opportunity we can to tear people up or to present ourselves better. Now, again, this is not natural for us. We need to pray. We need to pray. And if you want your prayers to be answered, here's here's some effective ways of praying for the purpose of the lost, because God's not willing that any shall perish, but all shall come to repentance. That we need to be praying continually for people. God presents people all over. We need to be praying for them, that God would open up a door of utterance, that God would open up a door so I can witness to them, that God would give me the words to say, that I could speak as I ought, that I could live my life in wisdom, that people could reflect my life, know me, want to hear what I say, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm walking in grace and God's done something different in me, and that my speech would be full of graciousness, that I could be truth and grace. These are good prayer requests, and prayer requests that God would answer, and prayers that we need to be praying all the time, because again, God wants to use us to witness to other people. Well, someone may say, well, why use us? Well, that's a good question. You ever think about why God didn't just decide to write the gospel in the clouds? Why God didn't just decide to put the gospel in rocks where people can go and visit? Why did God choose to use us out of everything he could have done? Why did God choose to use us? It's a good question. The answer is because we're an evidence of a changed life. That we get to be put as evidence, as a witness. Let me tell you what God did for me. And now people are more willing to listen. Not because we're perfect, not because we're great instruments, because we have a great God who did a change in us. And that we could be used as that witness. Remember, the noun must come before the verb. We must be a witness before we could go witnessing. We have to be a witness of what the Lord has done for us so we could go tell people what God could do for them. The evidence of a changed life, but God wants to use us to reach the world. And if we're not doing our job, people will not be reached. God has chosen to use human instrumentality. And so we could expect God to answer these prayers because God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God, and help us, Lord, to be drawn to you. Help us to live the life that we ought to live, not in our own power, but because you empower us. And help us to be conscious over and over that there are people around us that you want to save, that people that we pass by, people we work with, people we lived with, that you're not willing for them to perish, but for them to come to the place where they accept you as Savior. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to be people of prayer, that we pray more and more for the purpose of seeing people saved, people accepting you, people glorifying you because of the changed life they have in for themselves as they accept you as Savior, forgiveness of sins. Help us, Lord. Help us even now to be people of prayer and people who line up with your purpose and your goals. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.